that the what? The non-complete knowledge cannot bring in this one. Yes, the non-complete knowledge will bring in some sort of love. You know what? Love of the things. That's what the scientific or non-complete knowledge is all about. That one will bring in the love towards physical stuff, not living stuff. It's not alive. It's not what we talk about. Therefore, he will give birth to love, but love to the lifeless stuff. How? Yes.
When it sees in a lifeless being the color of a desired one, it heard the voice of a beloved in a whistle.
That whistle doesn't do, because here it's whistle, but it's not a whistle. It's that special gadget that the hunters will make the sound of the bird to attract the male of that bird to the trap. I don't know how you call it, because in Persian we call it safir, which is Arabic.
Bird call.
I don't know. Bird call has two different meanings.
Yeah.
But the one, the tricky one, the nasty one, that one here, he says, you know what? The bird will fall in the trap because it's listening to the sound of a beloved, but it's an imitation one of a bird. The one that comes out of the non-complete knowledge is like that. You will hear the name of the good stuff, but it's a trick. It's not the real one. Yes?
Deficient knowledge cannot discriminate. Of necessity, it deems the lighting to be the sun. The lightning.
There are two sources of light. One is lightning, one is the sun. The light of the sun is permanent, and we could see in it, the light of a thunder will blind you. So you have to have a special kind of knowledge. The normal knowledge, the non-complete or deficient knowledge, cannot differentiate between this and that, because at the end of the day, the physicist will say it's the light. Yes?
When the prophet called the deficient accursed, as interpreted was deficiency of mind. Because one whose body is deficient is the object of mercy, cursing and repulse against the object of mercy are improper.
This is one of the times that Rumi will somehow cheat a little bit. He goes out of the way to explain something which is not really according to this, but he goes back to Quranic verse, a story that the Prophet will call the physically challenged people, that's a politically correct way to say it now, handicapped people. He said, the handicaps are mal'oon. It looks harsh that the Prophet will call the handicaps the bad word. He's going to say, you are not listening. Over there, he's not talking about the physical handicap. He's talking about mental handicap. He's talking about intelligence. Because physical handicap is something that will provoke your pity, not your anger or disgust. He didn't mean that. So he doesn't do this very often. And I'm glad he doesn't, because the book will be full of a lot of explanation like this, because Muslims actually will take Quran literally. And all of them confess that this is a poetic language, it's poem. But they prefer to take it literally because it's a very big book. And whatever you want, you could find some verse in some page to somehow turn it around and do something with it. Rumi will say, it's all about meaning, it's all about your thought. All the religious beliefs are here to lead your thinking to the best. They are not here to control your physical existence. It has nothing to do with this. These are examples. Here he will say, look at it, that prophet, means Muhammad here, called the handicapped people accursed. See? Pay attention. Or that it couldn't be about the physical stuff. Yes? Because?
Because one whose body is deficient is the object of mercy. Cursing and repulse against the object of mercy are improper. It is deficiency of mind that is the bad disease. It is the cause of curse and merits banishment.
Why?
For as much as the perfecting of minds is not remote, but the perfecting of the body is not within our power. The villainy and feral-like pride of every infidel who is far have all been produced by deficiency of mind. Relief for the bodily deficiency has come in the Quran. It is no crime in the blind man.
You see, he compared it and says, pay attention, somewhere else in Quran he will say, when somebody is blind, don't think about the duties for the guy, because the guy is blind, so he's free of duties. Therefore, it's the same with this saying of the Prophet, he meant, it's too bad that you don't improve your knowledge, because you could. You cannot improve your body. If you are physically handicapped, you cannot do something about it. But if intellectually, you could do something about it, try to change it. Because this is what all that Nabuwwat is all about. He's here to guide you to improve. Yes?
Lightning is transient and very faithless. Without clearness, you will not know the transient from the permanent. The lightning laughs. Say at whom it is laughing. At him that sets his heart upon its light. The lights of the sky are hamstrung. How are they like neither of the east nor of the west? Regard the lightning as takes away the sight. Regard the everlasting light as eternally helpers. To ride horse upon the foam of the sea, to read a letter in a flash of lightning, is to fail because of covetousness to see the end. It is to laugh at your own mind and intellect. Intellect, by its proper nature, is a seer of the end. It is the fleshly soul that does not see the end.
Oh, wait here. Okay. Up to here. Any question? It's quite simple. He's explaining something momentary, like the lightning, and something permanent. And we say they look alike, but they are not different. And the difference will be clear after you use it, after a long time, after a period of time. Then he stopped here. He stopped to emphasize on some words here, the terms he's using here. First is the intellect. Intellect by its proper nature. Here we're talking about apple. Okay? So it's intellect. The other one is nafs. Not fleshy soul, it's nafs. We say, by nature, Aql is looking at the outcome of the process. But the ego will look at the short term. And he brought this to give you... Do you remember the mixture we were talking about right at the beginning? That bizarre mixture that you don't know which word is which. One is master, one is a slave. They're the same, they're doing. That duality, which started from form and the essence we're talking about. Here you bring it back to you. You say in you, there is this apple. We call it thinking, thought, whatever. And there is nafs, okay, ego. Within these two, one is overpowering the other one. If your apple is overpowered by your nafs, then it's not apple anymore. If your thought are enslaved by your egocentrism, these are not thought anymore. This will be upside down, because that's how it is. You are you. In you, these two phenomena exist. The apple is there, and nafs is there. Do you remember we explained about you becoming gold, adding gold a little bit, and we say you're gold when the majority is gold? Here we say, let's talk about your apple and your ego. They mix, and in this mixture, that's where you are building yourself. If you let your intelligence to be defeated by your ego, you will become egocentric, and you, God forbid, yes.
The intellect that is vanquished by the flesh becomes the flesh. Jupiter is...
The apple, which is defeated by ego, will become, will become nafs.
Jupiter is checkmated by Saturn and becomes inauspicious. Still, turn this gaze upon this bad omen. Look on that one who made you ill-starred. The gaze that survives this ebb and flow pierces from the inauspicious influence to the auspicious. He continually turns you from one state to another, manifesting opposite by means of opposite in the change.
I hope you agree to let it to the next time, because I don't want to go fast about this. Mm-hmm. Here he explains something very delicate. He talks about your intelligence and your ego fighting each other and which one could take over. Then he would say there are bad omens over there, because if two stuff which are not bad, each of them, will come together, that's a bad omen. This is the old astronomy. He bring in that to say, listen, there is a way. First of all, you should see somebody in you who is turning your heart every single moment. And you know what? You could dig and you could have a tunnel from this bad omen to the good omen. We'll talk about it next time, inshallah. I don't want to that.
It's the technique, it's the
you
meditation.
Know what? If you want to understand why, let me give you the feeling. Please, would you please read only line 1547?
And how does it start in your book then?
Oh God.
I will let me not come to speak.
Yeah, that book. You read it, Peter.
1555.
I will let me not come to speak, or give me leave to tell to the end.
You see, this is the point that Rumi will start to say, I don't know how to say it again. Oh, please, God, help me, or let me stop. Because this is a very special point. That's why I'll leave for next time, inshallah. We'll be in better mood.
Thank you.
No,